A year-long research study by the Daycare Council of New York found that certified early childhood teachers make $17,168 less than teachers employed by the New York City Department of Education. Joining me with information about the results of the study, the executive director of the Daycare Council of New York, Andrea Anthony. She's been with the DCCNY since 1998. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Audrey. I really appreciate this.
Appreciate you joining me. Yeah, this is, when I read this, I was like, what? What do you mean? What are you talking about? $17,168 less?
Yes.
How could that possibly be?
I think it's because of the different funding sources that we have here in New York City and federal and state, and how we use those funding sources. We have a community development block grant funding from the federal government that is matched by the state, and that money's, and then we have TANF, temporary assistance for needy families, those who are on public assistance. And then that those funds come to New York City, and the city adds additional funds, tax levy dollars, to those funds to basically support early childhood education. And then, of course, we have parents who can afford, you know, to send their children to education, to childcare programs, no matter how much it costs. But the ones that we support, that are members of the Daycare Council, are primarily low-income working families that need a subsidy to help them pay for childcare.
So talk about the Daycare Council of New York and the work that you do overall with daycare providers.
We are, the Daycare Council, 70 years old, I'm very proud to say. We were started after World War II. During that time, New York City developed 80 childcare programs, but after we lost the funding during World War II, we galvanized and we created the Daycare Council to be the voice for childcare centers with the goal of maintaining those centers so that they can continue serving our children, because the mothers who took on the jobs during World War II, of course, they wanted to continue working. So the Daycare Council, in all of its 70 years, we've been an advocacy arm for our members, but we also provide referrals to parents that call us looking for childcare, technical assistance to those childcare centers programs that are operating in New York City. If they're having program problems or fiscal problems, we help them with those problems. And then we also provide different trainings, health and safety, CPR, Red Cross. Then we also have a career ladder program for our members, for the employees of our member sites. Then we also, we are the labor negotiator on behalf of our members with the two unions, District Council 1707, Local 205, which is the childcare union, and the Council of Supervisors and Administrators for Directors. Now, the Daycare Council has 91 childcare sponsors that operate over 200 programs here in New York City. At one time, we were upwards of over 300, but that all changed in 2012.
And what happened in 2012?
Bloomberg. Michael Bloomberg took a look at the budget and for child care, that includes child care and Head Start, and he said, my goodness, there's an $82 million deficit, and we have to figure out how to straighten it out, not add more tax levy dollars to try and resolve it, but figure out how we can cut the budget. What they decided to do was to offer child care, but in a different, in different models of child care, Head Start, and the combined child care and Head Start. Reduced the number of child care programs and put about 1,200 people on the unemployment line, which created a whole schism in the system, and also almost destroyed our pension plan, which now has a withdrawal liability of $64 million because we lost that number, that number of people. And quite a few child care programs as well in different communities. So he restarted it with groups in who were unfamiliar with child care. Some of them did pretty good, but a lot of people think operating a child care program means you're going to make money. Surprise, there's no money to be made in child care. What you have is the privilege and knowledge that you're nurturing young minds, and you have staff who love it too, but they're not paid at the same rate as their counterparts. As you said, Audrey, it's about a $17,000 difference. They have the same education, same credentials. And one of the things I think New Yorkers should be proud of is the fact that we have a system. The New York City Health Department monitors all childcare programs. They go in unannounced and announced to make sure they're operating correctly. And they require that teachers who head up the classrooms have a master's early childhood education, and also they pass 3 licensing tests and a practicum in order to do that. And that's the same for Department of Education.
My jaw just dropped. Sorry. A couple of things that you said.
Yes, there are over 2,000 childcare programs in New York City. And I say half are your community-based programs, with about a more, maybe about 30% that are, is it about 30%? I'll just be safe. I say 20% are the publicly funded, fully funded by the city for low-income subsidy families. And the rest are nonprofits, some for-profits that were created for parents who were not eligible for subsidies. So you have two different groups here. And the other group, the other 1,000 are families who are upper income, you know, that can afford child care, whatever price is offered because of the nature of the school they want to send your child to.
So the reason my jaw dropped initially was I heard two things. Number one, that the child care providers in daycare programs and pre-K programs are equally as qualified and have to have the exact same credentials as Department of Education teachers.
That's correct.
And they're paid $17,168 on average less than teachers employed by the Department of Education, yet they have to have the same requirements. The other jaw-dropper for me was we have our young children and their parents who are working, who are taxpayers, who have to go to work, and they're primarily women, right?
Yes.
Who have to go to work and who need the child care and need help, but their tax dollars really aren't contributing to the child care that they need in order to work and to support society as a whole, because that's what work is about, right? That's why you're there. That's why I'm here talking to you. So I guess that means 2 and 3. And the other thing for me is, you know, you're talking about young minds and preparing them for kindergarten. But again, the biggest thing for me is that the providers have to be as qualified as Department of Education employees in order to do what they do, but they are paid less, which probably means, as you mentioned, that there's probably a pretty high turnover rate because people are looking, of course, to make more money.
Yes.
And it's not that they don't like what they're doing, but they have to support their families too.
That's correct.
So help. What?
Well, okay, let's take a back seat a little bit, because everything you said was articulated exceptionally well for someone. Do you have young children, Audrey?
Not anymore. You know, my daughter's grown, but, you know, I have 2 grandchildren, and I know other people who have young children, and I've heard the challenges when it comes to finding appropriate daycare,
right.
A place where they feel that their children are safe, that they're nurtured. And I also have heard about some pretty high turnover rates because, oh, so-and-so was such a good teacher, but she left to go to work with da-da-da because, I mean, come on.
Okay. Let's take a couple of things. I wrote down 4 things that I want to just add to the discussion. First, childcare is not mandatory in this country. Public school is. So those tax dollars have to be created, have to be used to make sure every child over 5 years old is in school. So we have to come up with those tax dollars. So parents who are in the workforce and they have young children, they're paying for public school as well, yes, in the hopes that one day their child will have that opportunity because it is mandatory and they've been paying their taxes. Childcare is not. And, you know, our federal, state officials have not seen fit to make it so that all parents can receive infant or child care. So those tax dollars, yes, we have parents who have children, young children, they're paying, yes, but they're paying for the future of their child in public school or private school, what have you. One is mandatory, one is elective, and those parents who are working can find the child care. New York City is very, very cautious, even though I know sometimes there are reports about children dying in child care centers, but that is not the norm. The health department in New York City established years ago that our child care programs were being inspected, and this is back in the 50s or so, our child care programs will be inspected. They will live up to certain regulations and codes. And we have one of the finest system in the state, because outside New York City, they do not have the same regulatory requirements that we do. We require that we have a master degree person at the head of that classroom. And we require that she has at least one assistant in that classroom. In the publicly funded, there are three. There's an assistant teacher, an aide, and a head teacher. So we keep our standards pretty high. The funding for early childhood, as I said, it comes from three different sources. There's federal funding, there's state funding, and there's city funding. The federal funding has not increased. Oh, excuse me. Yes, it did increase after Obama. Obama reauthorized what's called the Child Development Block Grant. So he made sure that it would continue, but no funding was added to it. We did receive funding just under the nose from our current president. I don't think he realizes it's there, to increase the amount of subsidy slots. That's what it does. That money comes to the different states. The states add money to it. It's parceled out to the different counties. When it comes to New York City, we add to that funding so we can have more people with slots. That includes those on public assistance. They are also eligible, but those on public assistance have priority over those who are low income as far as receiving child care, and you understand why. So, and like I said, those are the things to keep in mind, the tax dollars, and that we have mandatory public school, but not child care. Maybe one day we will, and parents don't have to worry about the cost. And parents do pay for it. Even those that are low income and on public assistance, they do have a small copay that starts at $5 and can go upwards of, you know, $200 a week. It depends on the family. The public funded system that our members are part of, the Daycare Council, yes, you're talking maybe 30,000 children over the course of a year that receive this nurturing care. But it's just two different systems set up for our children, and one is paid for not as what is a good word, highly or mandatory as the other.
So what can be done to eliminate the disparity when it comes to pay?
The only thing that can be done, Audrey, is adding more tax levy dollars to what we already receive. And that is what the advocacy effort is right now on salary parity, to bring it to the public's attention that we have women. And in my sector, in the public funded sector, primarily women of color, but that is not true for the entire sector. Remember, I said over 2,000 child care programs, about 1,000 are community-based, and there's a whole other group of 1,000 for the upper middle and upper middle class families who are not eligible for subsidies, but it's a women's issue. So we have to add more tax dollars, tax levy dollars, which, you know, can be somewhat, I don't say difficult to come by. It's really the will of our elected officials that they want to add some of those dollars. You mean they can decide to give them to us, or, you know, fill up some potholes for all we know. You know, I don't know the details of the budget, but there are the unions, there are the, you know, concerns that our city council and our mayor has that, you know, leaves out money for salary parity. But I think they've heard the city council has agreed with the Daycare Council, included our estimate of the cost of salary parity, which is $83 million to start teachers at the same level as the Department of Education programs and, oh, directors and teachers, excuse me. And so, and we're talking about, let me see, my numbers with 983 teachers and directors in the first year, 983 programs. And we're talking with teachers and directors, but 983 community-based programs, those under the auspices of the Daycare Council and those who are, you know, community-based low-income and middle-income. For certified teachers, the total is 3,006 certified teachers. That's Child Care, Head Start, and community-based organizations that are not of low-income but, you know, basic community groups. And if we look at those who are uncertified, we have those teachers who are on their way to, you know, finishing the testing. They are eligible to supervise the classroom as well if the director is certified. So together, we're talking total teachers, 5,630.
Wow. So, you know, when you think about the numbers of teachers, impacted by this. We're not talking like a few hundred thousand. We're talking about 500 and how many teachers who are undercompensated?
5,630.
It seems to me that it would be an easy fix. So this is something that is it before the New York City Council?
Oh, yes. I can't tell you how fortunate we are. We have Steve Levin, who chairs the General Welfare Committee, Mark Traeger, who chairs the Education Committee, both have, and also our speaker, Corey Johnson. They've both spoken out on the issue. They made it a priority. They put it in their budget response. The mayor releases the executive budget in May, and then the city council reviews it, and they respond to what he's proposing for the coming fiscal year. And they did put our amount, $83 million, for teachers, parity, plus another $6 million that we propose as bonuses for the unionized staff so that, we have a collective bargaining agreement between the union and our members, and it expires in 2020. So we're raising teachers, at least we want to, by July 1 to a salary comparable to their counterparts, their colleagues. But we also are cognizant of the support staff, the assistant teachers, the aides, and the cooks. So we wanted to give them, or the union propose a bonus for them until the collective bargaining agreement is finalized or redone in 2020.
That's a lot to accomplish. I got to tell you, if it's a difference between potholes and children, I would choose children.
Yeah, I would too. But, you also have those, you always have competing interests, Audrey. We have EMS workers. They're also seeking salary increases. We also have legal services staff, the attorneys. They're also seeking salary increases. So there are different groups in New York City that vie for higher salaries based upon, how long they've been working without an increase and under contract with the city. So there are several groups. So just like you're talking to me about early child education, you could do the same with the EMS workers and also with the attorneys who work for legal services.
Right, which are all important.
Yeah.
But, when I think about children and their well-being and, parents, when they go to work, because they have to work, of course, to support their families, are entrusting the care of their children to childcare providers and organizations. Mm-hmm. And children are a real resource for the future. Nurturing them, taking care of them, educating them, preparing them even to go into kindergarten is something that's important. And it just doesn't seem right to me that a child care provider would have to have the same requirements but not have the same pay as a teacher with the same requirements. I get it. They're community-based organizations, but that's why I wanted to talk to you, because I really wanted to understand why, and I want people to think about, why?
Yes, I understand. I wish, people like you would be wonderful to speak before the city council and, really express how important it is. It's like anything else. When I speak before some groups, I say, we're invisible until you need us. And when you need us, we're there. And that's the case for early child education. A parent has a child, they want to go back to work, and then they try and find child care that they can afford. And it's somewhat difficult, but they're lucky. They find someone and they want the highest quality for their children because they know once the child goes to school for that socialization and education, once they reach the age of 3, their brain is really developing. And we could have another, Einstein in that classroom, or the child that one day will cure Alzheimer's. They need as much nurturing and education as can possibly get. So in a lot of ways, you say it's a no-brainer. That's right. It's not. It's no-brainer. But it's really the will of our elected officials if they want to focus and they want to do it. And I'm proud and happy to say the city council, our New York City City Council, has agreed with us and they have made it a number one priority. Our mayor hasn't, but the city council has.
So there was this universal pre-K that was launched
Yeah.
by the mayor, right? And I'm sure that he was aware of, the cost of these programs going forward. And in that he is now provided universal pre-K, he is interested in the well-being of our youngest charges, if you will. Do we have to talk to him too?
It wouldn't hurt. He's been interviewed by different hosts like yourself, who have taken the time to make it an issue and really give us some airing to the public. I think one of the things the public needs to understand is that universal pre-K is not new, and he did not start it. University pre-K was started in the late 80s, mid to late 80s, by our former legislative speaker, Sheldon Silver. He put the state funding aside for half-day UPK, and he strongly believed in half-day UPK. And for years, that's all we had, which was about, I think it was 3.5 hours a day for families, and it was free. And it was half-day, though. De Blasio decided to build on that foundation and make it full day. So as soon as he was elected, he went to Albany and he was able to secure $300 million to take an existing program, Universal Pre-K, and make it full day, which was a godsend to a lot of families. If you have a four-year-old and now you're told it doesn't matter what your income is, you can have full day UPK. Parents jumped at it. So you had an onslaught of parents wanting it. And he made the decision to create as many slots as possible, not really stopping and taking a look at the infrastructure. And teachers are the infrastructure of anything when you talk about early child education. So he wanted to create the slots, number seats for families. But he didn't stop and say, well, let me stop here and look at the existing universe and, you know, the competition among the nonprofits and DOE. Let's put some slots in DOE. Let's put some slots in the community. But the DOE pays higher for the teachers than the community-based organizations. But what I'll do is I'll give the teachers $50,000 without thinking that there are some teachers in the public, in the regular programs, the 2- and 3-year-olds, who are making less. So he announced that he's going to give teachers who work in UPK $50,000, ignoring the ones who've been there for a long time. So that caused a whole big skirmish, you know, skirmish right then and there with him trying to promote UPK by giving existing teachers more money in the community-based organizations, also neglecting the fact that the public schools were already making more money and they were allowed to have UPK as well.
Ah, so it was an unintended consequence.
Absolutely, Audrey, you got it. He did a wonderful thing. He did, by making it full
right.
day.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, expanding the hours
right.
was something that, you know, parents needed, desperately
That's
needed.
Right.
So, yes, that was a good
right.
thing. But there always does seem to be, just in terms of researching the issues and being sure that all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted, that something's going to fall between
You're
the cracks,
right?
Absolutely. So what we are talking about is the unintended consequence of that really good intention that the mayor had.
That's correct. I wrote a paper, and I started with that line, unintended consequences of the growth of UPK. There's 65,000 slots. He's very proud of that. But he also needs to stop and take a look at the classrooms and the teachers in those classrooms and the community-based programs. Yes. Those in public schools, they have certified master degree teachers, but so do we.
Got it. All right, guys, so now we've talked about that particular issue, and I'm sure that Andrea and I could go on and on and on with, I'll have questions and she'll have responses. What I'd like you to do is go to theadamsreport.com where you'll see an image that really outlines some of the issues that we've just spoken about. Now, Andrea, you also have a new initiative called Early Education, Better Care. Talk to us about that.
It's a community-based public relations campaign that was created by the Daycare Council's Advisory Committee, which is comprised of members, our member agencies, our representatives, who wanted to shine light on the community-based organizations. Sometimes parents see them, but they're not quite aware of them. They see the beautiful colors on the outside. So this gives us a chance to have our members open their doors on the weekends and provide activities and let parents know that community-based organizations are better, just as good as the DOE. So it's a way to shine light and, you know, spur a little competition between us and them.
And competition is good.
Yes, yes.
Ultimately, competition is good. If you're competing same credentials against same credentials, you want the same pay for the same pay.
We want the parents to say, hey, look, we have activities, educational activities. Come on in. Take a look at our child care program. And we had a program last month at Rena Daycare, and we have one coming up in the Bronx at Eastside House Head Start and Child Care's bookmaking party, where we're going to have young children sit down and write their own little books. And that's on June 22nd. We're really excited about it.
Oh, love that. And where can we find information about Early Education Better Care Initiative and what events are scheduled?
Oh, you can go on the Daycare Council's website. And when you go to the link that says Families, you would click on Find a Center. And once you hit Find a Center, you would see our sign and all of the activities that are coming up.
Andrea, what do you see as the future in your wildest dreams for daycare and daycare staffing?
I think we're fortunate in that we have individuals, adults coming up now that recognize the importance of universal child care for all. You know, people talk about millennials, but they're hitting their 30s and they're having children, and they will one day want their children to go to a quality program. So I do envision that we will one day have early childhood that will be available to all, not necessarily mandatory, because it's really the parent's choice that they want their child to be, their infant or their young child at 2 or 3 year olds to be in a more structured environment. They may want to keep their child home and nurture them at home before they send them off to a childcare program. But I do envision that down the road, we will have a universal program where any parent who wants childcare will be able to find it and enroll their child without heavy fees. Now, it would have to be heavily subsidized by the federal, state, and local governments, but I think it's worth it. I think it's, and of course, because I'm in the you know, business of childcare, but I think parents would agree it's worth it. As I said, we could have the next Einstein in a four-year-old classroom, and we just need to nurture him and help him along his way, just like we're trying to make sure those in high school now get a fair chance. We can do the same for very young children.
Well, I think we're all grateful that there are unsung heroes, teachers and advocates like yourself and the Daycare Council of New York that are really looking out for the interests of teachers. Preparing these young minds to enter kindergarten isn't just play. This is serious business. And I would hope that everyone out there goes to the Daycare Council of New York's website to check out what they're doing. How can we support the efforts of the Daycare Council?
Oh, thank you. We always say write a letter to the mayor. That's always helpful because those letters are read. I mean, it's Mayor Bill de Blasio, City Hall, and then New York City and the zip code. Those letters are read. And the more that we have, the better. Twitter is always good. The Daycare Council's website, Twitter page. There's also different city council members, their Twitter page. If an individual wants to just go on Twitter and say, we support child care, we support salary parity for teachers, you know, we want a quality program here in New York City, they can do that. We just had a rally in last week, so we're not going to plan anymore. And as I understand it, the city council and the mayor will come to a budget agreement probably next week. Maybe this week or next week. You know, the city budget has to be put to bed by the end of June. That's mandatory. That's by law. So we expect that of all the advocacy efforts, we and, I mean, oh, God, hundreds of nonprofits and advocacy groups have done over this past at least 3 years, Audrey, that we should have a good outcome. We're just very hopeful for that.
Yeah, but we also need awareness of some of the things that are going on. And I think we're also busy with our lives that we don't often have time to think about all the issues. I mean, you can start anywhere in terms of issues. But if you're not aware of the issues, then you can't possibly be supportive. Thank you so very much. My guest has been Andrea Anthony. She is the executive director of the Daycare Council of New York, also called DCCNY. We've been talking about pay disparities. And again, let me just say that number one more time. Their study found that certified early childhood teachers make $17,168 less than teachers employed by the New York City Department of Education. Same credentials.
Yeah.
Think about it. Thanks so much for joining
me. Thank you, Audrey. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. Thank you.
My pleasure.